And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. You are listening to us this February 15th, 2020, and we welcome you folks out there, and we sure do thank you for tuning in. We've got the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh. Paul.
Morning.
And good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
Zach, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just first and foremost give you thanks for allowing this time for all of us to come together and discuss the topics of today and to help us better understand the things that are going on. Lord, we just pray that you bless this time that we have together. Lord, we just ask that it be a blessing to the remnant. Lord, we just ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Zach.
Yep. Well,
there's a lot of things going on in the world, and I'm just going to throw it out there. Does anybody want to have anything in particular that they want to start off with? They can just go right ahead. I guess not. Well, one of the things that I saw that was in the news, and I got this from Marlon, and it was a bill that's proposed in Alabama, and the proposed bill, Alabama law, would require men to undergo vasectomies after their 50th birthday. And, you know, some of this stuff, it's like truth is stranger than fiction. We've heard that an awful lot. And as you read some of this, it just shows you how insanity has become the norm in this land to such a degree. It says, Montgomery, Alabama, a proposed law, Alabama law would require all men to undergo vasectomy within 1 month of their 50th birthday or after the birth of their third child, whichever comes first. House Bill 238 was authored by Representative Rolanda Hollis, a Democrat from Birmingham, and would not only require all men over 50 to receive a vasectomy, but would also require them to pay for the procedure out of their own pockets. The only part of the proposed bill that gives a reasoning behind it is, under existing law, there are no restrictions on the reproductive rights of men. Representative Hollis gave the following statement about the bill's meaning. Many have seen House Bill 238 as an outrageous overstep, yet year after year, the majority party continues to introduce new legislation that tries to dictate to a woman's body and her reproductive rights. We should view this as the same outrageous overstep in authority. You know, and you look at this and you talk about insanity. It is insanity. I mean, it's, you know, they want to say that, oh, yeah, the people are trying to dictate to a woman their rights. No, they're trying to fight for a child, an unborn child that doesn't have anybody defending them. It's plain and simple. And, you know, you see things like this, it just really puts you it makes you realize that we are in need of saving.
Well, that's a fact, isn't it? I mean, I read through that too, and I just was like, wow. the insanity of or lack of reason in that whole thing is just, you know, it reminds me of the reason people get fat is because they have spoon. You know, I mean, there's something like that, a statement like that. It's not logical. It's not moral. It's not anything. It's just a tirade. So I think.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, and it's I don't know. There's so much of this stuff that is going on. Paul, I got an article from you on soil health is human health. You want to talk a little bit about that? I think that's something important that people need to be aware of also.
Hello?
I think we lost Paul.
Okay. Well, Zach, I'll turn it over to you.
I can hardly hear Jason.
Oh, really? Okay. Zach, go ahead.
Okay, well, I read that article as well that Paul sent to Jason, and basically what it was saying, this MD doctor by the name of, I believe his name is Zach Bush, he was in a question and answer article in April magazine, and if anybody that is out there that doesn't know what the Acres magazine is, it's a natural farming magazine, and the Acres staff interviewed this guy, and this guy is trained as a medical doctor, and he got his license from 2009, 2010, and through like his practice stuff, he started to look at things a little bit differently, and he was leaning more toward natural health through his practice, and he discovered that a lot of the food that was out there, because he was trying to cure people through nutrients, through food. And he began to understand, like, when a lot of the research that was done, it was, at the time, was like 30, 35 years old, which was like back in the late 60s and 70s. A lot of the food had a higher density of nutrients in it, and people were killing themselves through nutrient-dense food. And so he started putting people on regimens of food. And he was and he saw that he wasn't getting the same result. And he began to understand that because of the way farming is done today versus back 35 and 40 years ago, that the nutrients wasn't in there. And then he began to ask himself why. And he began to understand that the farming practices were not the same, and that they were using these glyphosates and all these other herbicides and pesticides and all this stuff that was actually attacking the integrity of the crop. And he began to understand that the crops were literally fake. They were all engineered and all this other stuff. So he understood that the farming technique was actually was counterproductive to human health, animal health, nature's health, and he began to understand that these glyphosates are everywhere.
Right.
They're in the air, you know, they're in the soil, they're in all the water. And he was saying, like, this guy's opinion, like, if we don't change this in the next decade, you know, we're really up a creek without a paddle. And that's why I'm sort of saying about, like, this cover crop and stuff, because it gives you a solution to how to begin to fix this. And it's actually quite a big deal. I think it's kind of the unseen war that's going on. Like, you see all this other propaganda, and this is something that's talked about very little, but yet it's a major deal, and nobody seems to understand it. So, you know, for all you guys out there, you know, that are farmers and ranchers, it's something worth looking at.
Absolutely, I would agree 100%. And one of the things that I noticed is when he was looking at the nutrient density of the food, he said that sometimes it was 10% less than it was, but he said sometimes it was 100% less than it was. And that was just in the past 25 years. So he really points out that we've got a problem, and if we don't start correcting it in the next 10 years, we're going to have some real, real problems.
And I would think that should be motivating to everybody. I mean, obviously, do your own homework, do your own research, and begin to understand exactly what is happening to our land. You know, it's just like the Bible says. The more sin is, the more the land will reject you. And the thing of it is, you have to have eyes to see in order to recognize that is exactly what is happening. If the land rejects us, there is no future for our sons and daughters and their daughters. And, you know, I actually think, you know, if you want to combat and be in the Christian army, that is something that you can do. Whether you're alone a couple acres or whatever, you can actually begin to heal your own land, produce your own food, and be one of those ones that stand out.
Yes, yes, I would agree.
That's so foundational. I mean, yeah, basically, if you don't take care of that, and, you know, that's just like this phosphate thing. I mean, whether it's, and I don't know whether there's any comparison, but you've got glyphosate, you've got all these, and back around World War II, they figured out that phosphates and soap were damaging, so they had to take them all out, you know, and evidently, they took them all out and put them all in the fertilizer, you know, but that way you bought more soap and your clothes didn't get as clean, but it seems like it leaches and scrubs the nutrients out of the soil, and it's not like, I think that a lot of this farming and agricultural base that we see today, it's not like you're baking a cake where you just dump this on, dump that on, stir well, and turn the pivot on it, leave it run all summer, and you're done. You know, it requires more thought and more planning and more prayer than that. And I think we see a lot of people there that they think it's some kind of, and it, to me that's a case of not tending the garden the way God intended for his people to do. I mean, it was, it's like somebody who doesn't know how to do it. You watch a video, you put a wrench on a car, you turn the nut, now it runs, right? I don't know why. I don't understand the reason behind it. I don't really care. That's just what they said to do. It's like they go through the, by rote rather than by, actual, you know, spiritual, physical. I mean, watching those seeds grow to me is a spiritual. That's where God's power meets earthly domain, and you put them in the ground and they grow. How amazing is that? So there's a lot more to it than just some of the things that they want to make everybody think.
Well, and it made me think about a scripture. Go ahead, Zach.
I got a scripture I'd like to read. It's found in Joel chapter 1, verse 11, and it says, "Be ashamed, O farmers, wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has been destroyed." Now, that MD doctor that was in that magazine, I don't know his biblical background. I don't know how he was raised. I'm just going to take the position that he knows nothing as far as, like, biblical principles. But, you know, what he is saying is confirmation of what Joel is saying. And, you know, if we look at, like, really what happened, you know, like, after World War II with all these synthetic fertilizers and stuff, you know, the companies that were starting to be like, hey, look, you know, you can grow a great crop of corn. You can grow a great field of wheat and all this other stuff. But the end result was it's worthless. It's worthless. It's all filler. And it doesn't really do anybody any good. And, you know, like, it's a sad thing. And I'm not saying if I was in that position at that time, that I wouldn't have jumped on the bandwagon. But, you know, time did tell the story and is telling the story of what exactly is going on. Just take a look at the population out there. I mean, they didn't look like they did back in the 40s and 50s. I mean, you just walk into a gas station, you take a look at people, and they're not healthy. And you can tell by what they're putting in their mouth. And it's a serious issue, and, you know, I'm making some changes around my place just because of that, thought, you know. And I think everybody should do that.
Well, and I think the scripture, I was just getting ready to read that scripture that you read, Zach, but I was going to start in verse 10. It says, the field is ruined, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine dries up, fresh oil fails. And I also was thinking about what you were talking about in reference to Hosea 4:10, for it says, for they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, but they have ceased obeying the Lord. And a New American Standard says they will eat but not be satisfied. And, you know, I think that means that they're going to eat, you know, they're putting the food into their mouths, but there's no nutrients in the food. You know, their bodies are not satisfied. There's nothing there.
Taking care of the land is a command from God. And, you know, if you look at the modern day Judeo-Christian train of thought, is everyone's like, oh, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And, you know, their sole focus is on going to heaven. And they don't really think about, because, you know, unless the Lord comes back in my lifetime and you other gentlemen's lifetime and people that are out there, you know, what about our children? What if Jesus doesn't come back until after they have children? How are they going to live, you know? And that mindset of when I die, I got to make it to heaven, is, I think it's kind of slightly destructive in a way. And it takes away, well, what about my sons and daughters? And I think a lot of people have forgotten that principle. And that's why it's important, because you're worried about the people coming behind you. And I think the Judeo-Christian church is really, well, we all know that it's not the ball. We all know who the head of that is. But, you know, it's in that train of thought has infested the land right down to the farmer. And, you know, it's all destruction, just like the Lord said.
Well, look at the name Roundup. You know, you think of this in a big picture, you know, there's more Roundup used in non-agriculture than agriculture. And you can't hardly find anything that isn't Roundup ready as far as corn and beans and stuff like that. But the Roundup, I think that they know exactly what they're doing. I think it's the last Roundup, and they're going to take Israel out. That's their plan. It's kill us. Because, you know, that doctor wrote all that. He was in the Philippines, and they were healing people with food and stuff like that. And he tried, so he got onto it here, and it wasn't working. So he started looking at the food. Now, you know, if he's
non-biblically based, that's kind of more of a testament to me. You mean that right, so that he had no biblical base either, and he found out that pork and mushrooms were the most cancer-causing food there was. You know, but that gives, to me, that gives them more credibility, because they're not, they're looking at true science, what's really going on. The Christian has a tendency to roll his eyes back, and, you know, while he can't do nothing about that, he lives by a false faith, you might say. And sometimes, you know, I'd almost rather deal with a non-Christian than a religious person, to be quite honest with you. They're easier to reason with, because a religious person has a, they have a tendency to just wall stuff off and don't deal with it. But we're going to deal with it, because you look at the children being born with all the problems. You know, I was raised in an era where I've got some resistance. But you take a tree can live without no roots for 2 years, just living off itself. Us older people are doing that. But all these kids that are being born at a very young age with all these problems, and that's just showing you that how broad spectrum this Roundup thing is. It's absolutely huge. And see, the way Roundup works, it goes into a plant and it grabs every cation. Now, you probably don't know what that is, but there's cations and anions, and that reaction between them is what a plant really is. Well, it grabs all the cations and holds on to it. Well, you eat it, it just keeps on doing it. And, it, you know, that book, too, down at the end of the Mississippi, the last 90 miles, the most cancer-prone place in the world, because it's all going downstream. So, yeah, I just think you take a look at the names. I think they know what they're doing when they renamed it Roundup, because this is the last Roundup for them. But we're in trouble.
Good analogy.
Yeah, it is real good. It makes sense, too. I mean, and, you know, it's, you know, people need to be aware of it. I mean, they're looking, there are studies that are showing that if people don't start getting away from some of this stuff, that everybody's going to be sterile in 10 years.
Well, I guess they could take that law that you're talking about, if you're going to get off the book, then, because they did it through the act.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, it's a multi-pronged attack. There's no doubt about it. I mean, whether they're attacking the farms or the food or, you know, the financial section of the people that are on those places. I mean, they're literally eating the substance. We're using that word they, but the enemies of God are literally eating the substance out of the land. And, you know, we're charged with the responsibility of being those gatekeepers and defending our properties and our homesteads and our families. And by us, you know, by definition, it'd be life itself. I mean, we, you know, the things that we're talking about here aren't just about your pocketbook, or aren't just about your farm. They're about, like Paul said, they're about the children that are coming, the life. I mean, what you leave to those future generations. And, you know, the Bible talks about eat the substance out of the land, and the substance out of the land that they're taking is all the wealth, all the prosperity, and all the future hope of people to come. So that was just, you know, it just occurred to me that there's a reason for that. And that's why we're told not to fear and to stand up and be men.
Amen.
You know, another thing I was thinking of when I got on the ministry, I originally met Pastor Peters, you know, that is when he was, see, I think that was about 2008. That's when he was on Revealing the Man of Sin, which is Esau. And if you go back into the book of Genesis, there's two things about the seed of Esau that have always stood out to me. And one of them, when their father Isaac was basically forecasting the future between Jacob and Esau, there were two things that stood out to me. Isaac told Esau that he would grow restless and that he would remove the yoke that Jacob put on him. And so Jacob, we know that Jacob is supposed to be the true ruler and the true promoter of the laws of God. And Esau was going to throw that yoke off of him. And so there was going to be a power shift, so to speak. That's the way I took it. And we kind of know that Esau is in control of the in control of the churches and that sort of thing. But another one is that the produce, or he wouldn't be able to grow anything. And the produce, you know, he wouldn't be able to grow anything out of the ground. And I'm sitting there and I wonder, like, with all this Roundup and all these fancy ways of growing stuff, you know, is that the seed of Esau that's promoting all this? And then Jacob, you know, jumping in bed with them. And, you know, and if it's all fake, you know, it just ends up being destruction. And what it boils down to is people don't pay attention to the ways of God and his instruction, you know. And that's what it boils down to. So it's everybody's fault. It is everybody's fault in their lack of unbelief. Or their lack of belief, you know.
Yes. And, I mean, and it's one of those things, it's like, and John said it from the pulpit several times as he's talked about people, it's like you need to be careful and you need to pay attention to what you're eating and what you're putting in your body, because you can either pay for it now or you can pay for it later. You know, you gotta be aware of that. And I think that it's, you know, we're in those times. You see this coronavirus. You see people that are, you know, getting sick, and people are, you know, there's people that are dropping like flies now. I think that, honestly, I don't think that it's happening as fast as our enemies and the enemies of Christ expect it to. And I think so, sometimes that they're just sitting back and they're scratching their heads and saying, you know, why aren't they dying? They should be falling like flies. We poison them with this. We poison them with that. And, you know, that's where I think that the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes into play, because I think he is being merciful and he's given us time and he's given us a second chance to figure some of this stuff out.
Absolutely, and I think sometimes that we just don't realize how much effort, how much heavenly authority and heavenly resources and godly power are extended on the protection of God's people. I mean, I think a lot of times we wonder. I'm always reminded of the story in Daniel when the angel was bringing the answer to Daniel, and he said, I was prevented, you know, by the prince of Persia and by all these heavenly things that went on. Daniel didn't know that. He just knew that there was no answer. He was waiting for an answer. And it's like, well, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I haven't had an answer. I mean, you can see him going, hello, Dad, but, you know. And the angel was dispatched. He said, I was dispatched the moment you prayed. It just took me this long to get here. And I think that's a significant example for us of the effort and power that is expanded or expended on our behalf as far as our defense and as far as for our benefit. I mean, a lot of times we can kind of feel like, well, we're waiting, you know, what's going on, but the answer's on the way, the power is being expended. You may not be able to understand how Satan's being prevented, or how the workers that are against God are being stymied and put off. But that battle is ongoing. You know, it, it, uh, genius. And, you know, they don't, they stand back and, oh, I'm so well. They just seem to, everything you throw at them rolls off. It's kind of an interesting, it's an interesting thing. And it's a very powerful thing when you begin to understand that. It's like, thank you, God, for the unseen things that are going on that I don't even know about. You know, that's one of my, that's always one of my, thoughts in the back of my mind as far as when I'm praying. It's like, well, it's happening. I just can't see it apparently right now. So.
Yeah, and we've had so many people that have called in lately, and they're concerned about this coronavirus. And to me, it's so interesting how so many people so quickly forgot that we were all supposed to die in the bird flu when the bird flu happened. How many years ago? We were all supposed to die when the H1N1 flu came through. How many years ago? We were all supposed to die when the swine flu came through, you know, however many years ago that was. And, you know, we're still here. Did it happen? No, absolutely not. Did 80% of the population get wiped out because of the bird flu, swine flu, N1, H1? No, it didn't. And, you know, it's going to be the same with this one. Yeah, now are they continuing? Everybody's talking about, well, this is the big one. They've got it figured out now, and they know how to do it. You know, Psalms 91 still works, and is still there in my Bible. And, you know, that needs to be the attitude of the people there, you know, that the plagues will not come near my tent. You know, you need to claim that. That's one of the promises of God. Had a lot of people that have called in and you know, are asking, what do we do for this? Well, there's things that a person can do in the physical. There's things that people need to be doing in the spiritual as well. But you know, as far as the physical goes, vitamin D3, phenomenal against the flu, the influenza virus, vitamin C, LDM. We've got several products that are working just phenomenal against the flu virus. And there's a lot of flus going around this year. It seems like that, if you turn around, there's people sick all over the place right now. But are they dying of it? No. Are they, is the hospitals filled up and overflowing? No, they're not. And Tim, I know that you had a couple articles that you were talking about earlier on about what's going on with this coronavirus. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, it is kind of interesting that the fact is practically all of the fatalities with the coronavirus have occurred in China. And of course, you know, I'm sure that the naysayers would be like, "Well, that's where it started." You know? I mean, it's just not higher level of lethality there, but it's definitely started over there. And the other interesting thing is, and these are just some things that I've read, I don't, you know, I can go through on some of it, but basically what we're looking at is the fact that it seems to kill a lot more Chinese men over there statistically than women. I mean, it's killing 70% more men than women in China, which is significant in some way. I mean, I don't really understand it. When you consider the fact that there's about 4 or 5 men in China for every one, I have to wonder if it's not even more of an attack against their own people. I mean, just looking at what I'm seeing, and there's a big move out now. Senator Cotton is out there saying, you know, we need to take a look at this. It might be a biological weapon. I mean, he's making some noise about, he demands that China proves that it's not a biological weapon that's being used. There's some scrambling going on over that. And he's a former U.S. Army infantry officer, you know, Senator Cotton was, and he understands how asymmetric warfare works. And I think when we see all that, the other thing that's interesting is we've got this big we've got this big trade war supposedly going on, and you know, a lot of the antibiotics and a lot of the medical stuff come out of China. I mean, you know, as far as we look at the amount of stuff that as far as our drugs that come out, we're talking 70 to 80% of penicillin, heparin, those kind of things all come out of.
Yeah, I think some of that's up in the 95 to 98 tile, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's quite high. I mean, but it's amazing to me that, I mean, to me, this is a godly thing. This is the motivating factor is coronavirus, and we see people out there highly motivated. We have given our country and our children's futures away to this foreign country because we, you know, the list is as long as your leg as far as the things that we don't produce here anymore, that we've given away. We've talked about it on these programs, on these shows for literally years now about the, you know, production, manufacturing, food products and everything. I mean, a large percentage of dog food is imported from China. We're crying out loud. I mean, dog food? Really? You know, there's all these things that come from over there, and this is your opportunity to get your rear end gear and get the production and the manufacturing back where it goes, whether it's our food production, our manufacturing, our healthcare industry. You know, these things need to be put back into perspective and put back into balance in this country. And it's you know, we've allowed this foreign entity to come in and dictate our economy and dictate our food and dictate our manufacturing. And it's affected, it literally affects every human being in this country, whether you want to admit it, whether you like it or not. It doesn't really matter whether you buy American or you buy Chinese. You're still affected and impacted by the fact that these products and these diseases and these cures and all of this stuff is not sourced at home. I put you at someone else. I mean, it's no different than somebody having their boot on your neck and telling you what you're going to do. So, you know, they can control markets. They can control. I talked to a farmer yesterday. We were talking, and I don't really know just exactly how it came up, but he said, well, my folks bought this place for $19,000, you know, 35 years ago. And we were just like, wow. And he said, what's really funny is, of course, it's obviously worth much more than that today. But he said, what's really funny is they were getting just about the same prices on commodities as I'm getting today. You know, so everything else has gone up in price. What he can make or what he can sell has stayed level or constant, more or less. And then they, you know, it's some more of that leverage that they apply to create this need for these farmers to feel like they ought to dump more fertilizer or more pesticide, or, you know, they're just grasping at anything because property taxes have gone up, property values have gone up, equipment prices have gone up, but what they can produce haven't. So their options as far as what they can do to compensate or meet need are very, very limited. You know, I mean, I know when I was young, you farmed. Grandma took care of the place. Grandpa farmed. And, you know, then along in the 70s and 80s, suddenly grandma went to town and got a job. And grandpa farmed or, you know, whatever. And they could make ends meet that way. And then pretty soon it was, Grandpa farmed and worked a part-time job at one of the farm stores, and you know, and Grandma worked, and farming became this kind of secondary thing because they didn't want to give up on it. And we've seen this kind of, and it all goes back into a lot of these things like this virus and like this production, and although I think it ties in really well, and it's an attack against God's people. So, I mean, you know, Adam was created to dress and keep the garden in his perfect state. He was a farmer.
Yeah.
I would think one of the things with a modern day farmer today is like the commodity farmer and stuff like that. My older brother always says, like, he looks at all the farmers around and we're in the tree business. And he goes, he says, you know what their problem is? And I was like, what's that? He goes, they're missing one of the three legs of business. And I go, what is that? And he goes, they don't know how to market their own product. And I was like, you know, I think
yep.
You're right.
That's it.
They don't know how to market. And, you know, I mean, it, you know, Paul knows my brother. And, you know, he's right. And so I think, people should start looking at that a little bit more. Is how to sell yourself, how to sell your own product and your own labor, you know, in a private sale. Because like where I'm from, you know, there's like a whole community, you know, that they love homegrown stuff, and they will buy your homegrown stuff. But most people, you know, they want somebody else to do the marketing. You got to be willing to do your own marketing. And maybe that being said, you can go half as much as you were before and spend less time out in the field, more time marketing, maybe you'd be better. I don't know. But that's just a thought.
Really good point. Yeah.
Farm Bureau was started by one of Rockefeller's wives. So that ought to tell you something. My dad was a member of Farm Bureau. He just wanted to farm and let them market. Well, I'm telling you what, they took them to the cleaners and they're still doing it. I go to these meetings and I watch the same group of people argue against the farmer every time, and asparagus and sherry that I see, that they stand up there and argue against that farmer. I don't know why people don't shoot the son of a bitch. But they are using us, and this was all started, and the farmer is absolutely right. He don't want to market himself. And if you, I don't remember when we had corn, sometimes there were people out west that had their bins full and they just sold it because they weren't in debt and they could hold it until the market was more creative. And it is the weakest link. I've said it for years, the farmer's weakest link is marketing his crop. He just wants somebody else to do it. He don't want to think. He just wants to let them, you know, they all pay their dues to the Farm Bureau, whatever else organization they do. And they think they're actually working for them. They're not.
It's a really good point. I mean, absolutely excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to somebody who used to come to our meetings and lived in Iowa when he's running 900 acres going broke. I said, why don't you sell that? If I'm do something less. And I didn't see him for quite a few years, and I seen it. And he says, you know what? I did what you said, and we're raising vegetables. We're making a living. So there's a lot of ways to make a living. If you want more acres, there's farms around here just going berserk with cattle and acres, and that's just absolutely insane. And you know, if you got a garden, you can make a living. You don't need much. Well, I tell you, it only takes a couple of chickens to produce more than you can eat.
You know.
Well, that was the old saying: you know, 40 acres in a mule or something like that back in the day, and those guys did fairly well on that, didn't they? I mean, that was...
Yeah, 40 acres a mule, that was a deal.
Yeah. Today, most people wouldn't even think, they turn their nose up at that and go, that's impossible.
Well, people are extremely lazy today, too. They don't want to think. They don't want to work. So, I mean, you know, you reap what you sow. God said our money would turn to dross, and he said we'd be driven to the lion. Well, it's happened. We're in the last stages of it, whether you know it or not. You know, this Roundup thing is it's the last straw as far as I can see, because it's detrimental, and I don't think anybody's got a clue how far down the tube we are.
I agree. I agree. And yeah, these terror crops, you know, the weeds, I think that's, it's significant to me that they've built tolerance to that too. I mean, they're now tougher than they've ever been, you know, and, they keep on, then they go out and bioengineer, the crop to be tougher, and all they're doing is they just continually raise the bar and make things worse and not making it any better. It is debilitating all the way across the line. I mean, you see a lot of tires with sidewalls damaged in them and stuff from corn stalks. And I thought it was just the tires being cheap, but kind of come to the conclusion that, you know, they wanted to keep the wind from blowing them down and different things on the crops, and they've engineered these stocks to be a lot tougher. And it's like, I don't know how that's, you know, how that, it's just kind of a, somehow we're going backwards there.
Well, yeah, it's wood. It's not, you know, I, 40 years ago, I raised some open pollinated corn. You know, my dad told me, God, stuff's going to all fall down. Well, I'm telling you, that first year hit me in the forehead and the other one was higher. It was just gorgeous. One day, wind came on, all laid flat on a pancake. But see, things have been going wrong for a long time. Instead of hybridization, we should have been looking at the soil way back then, because there was something wrong with that whole thing, because, you know, the Bible says don't plant your seeds with mingled seeds, you know, which is part I can tell is hybridization. But they've just bred the food right out of this, the food quality right out of everything that's going on around us. It's just amazing when you take care of some nutrition, what really happens with a plant. It just goes prolific. And it's a big deal. People are catching on. You know, the market, the people want organic food. They don't even know what they're asking for, but they're asking for it. Well, the farmer on this end of the thing is starting to respond to it because it's a real deal. You know, and it's bigger than we know. So, we're in transition.
Yeah. But, and
you know, 40 years ago, I didn't know what I know today either, you know, but I was looking and I made a lot of mistakes, a lot of rabbit trails, but keep going, keep looking.
The other day I had somebody that stopped by. I had given them that book, Gabe Brown's book, Dirt to Soil, and they came by and they said, I need to get a couple of those books. I'm going to hand that out. That's a real good book. It made a big difference for me. And I said, okay, how many do you want? 25 of them. And I just smiled and I said, okay, that's it. And he's like, I got a list of 25 people I'm giving it to. So, you know, that, and that's the way I was when I first started reading that book also.
Well, that book is like fire. Have you given it to anybody that didn't like it?
No, not anybody that read it. I gave it to several people that said they were going to read it and they didn't read it. And they're like, oh yeah, I don't have time to read stuff like that. So.
Yeah, but if they read it, did you find anybody that didn't
like
it?
No, I did not.
Me neither, and I don't care who they are. There's a big farmer I get around here. He loved it, too. He hasn't done anything, changed his ways, but he liked the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And that thing just makes too much sense.
Yeah.
It makes too much sense.
Well, and I think it's one of those things. Go ahead, Zach.
The thing that's great about that book, Mr. Brown gave the glory to God about that. And it's using God's tools not only to produce a better crop and a more nutrient-dense crop, but it also heals the land. And it's using God's tools God's way. And that's what's the best thing about that book. And, you know, people say, well, what are we going to do? Well, there is a way. And, you know, that's what's best about that book, because it gives you a solution on how to fix it. It gives you a starting point on what direction to go. And and it makes you understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and it's good for, at least the way I look at it like this, is it's good for the future generation. It's good for my children, and it's good for their children, and it does give the glory to God. That's what I love about that book the most.
Well, look at the guy. He's doing his marketing, too. He's doing his whole marketing. In the very last chapter, yep. It says, you know, do something. The lady from Detroit called him a little garden, and he took time to talk to her. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how big a farmer is. It's somebody that's listening. You know, we can turn this world upside down. The truth always wins. And this country's lived a lie for quite some time.
Absolutely.
You know, back in the Depression and, you know, when everything collapsed, there was no government programs to save it. Now, this country had done that a long time ago if it wasn't for all the government programs that are propping it up. I remember Hoskins was in Wisconsin one time, about his war cycle, sea cycle. He said, well, this should have happened 15 years ago, but it hasn't. But it's the government programs and the idolatry that has led us to put this thing off. But we're gonna pay the price eventually. I think it's right here.
Yeah, I think you're right. And John's been saying for, you know, I like his quote, it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust, and I think that's what's happening right there, too, because it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's something that we're going to have to keep praying and have faith and do our part.
I agree.
Well, we're down to about 5 minutes. You guys have any closing comments for today?
Well, you know, let's look at government. You know, the biggest illusion that the politician lives over that he makes law. The Bible says there's one lawgiver. You understand Romans 13, you know, there is no authority but of God. This government does not make our laws. We're going to get boiled down to God's law, and this is what we're talking about, actually, I think, is we're coming back to our basics, you know, if we want to survive. The best way to live is be ready to die, but I'm not afraid of living.
Zach, closing comments?
Say what?
I said Zach, closing comments.
Okay.
I would say know what humility is and what to be humble is, and that is to make everybody else more important than you. And that means your wife, your children, their future, and the ones that are coming after you. And, you know, you're just a cog in the wheel when it comes to the army of God. Do your job and know that it's going to work out for the best. And Jesus Christ has everything in control. And know that, and if you do what you're supposed to do and be obedient, he'll see you through. And he'll see the people after you through. If you do your job properly, so be obedient.
Amen. Tim?
Well, and mine kind of goes along with what Paul and Zach said. Said him who would lead, let him serve. That's a Bible action. You can't be a leader if you're not willing to serve. When you have a lot of people who don't want to get their hands dirty or don't want to get involved, and they just want to shout out orders and send people to come and go, and we're supposed to be abounding and always work in the work of the Lord. And that's service. And that's service to God and service to our brethren and service to our future generation. And it matters. So get after it.
Amen.
Yes, son.
Thank you, men, for joining us this morning, and thank you, folks, for tuning in. And remember to join us for church tomorrow, live from the LaPorte Church of Christ. Go to www.scriptures4america.org to do that. We'll be starting off at 8:30 tomorrow morning, Mountain Time, and we'll see you later, folks.
Christian soldiers marching into war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ our royal master leads against the foes. Forward into march home.